the name of the album, Magnus Furikon. How do you guys come up with it? Were you just Googling words that didn't exist and didn't come up with any results, or how does this name came to happen?
I was literally waking up one morning and I had this word in my head, and I needed a little bit of time myself to analyze it. And it comes from the Latin word magnus, which means big or great. And in this kind of, in this, I mean more whole, you know, like the whole thing. And then the word sphere and con is like a connecting, like a word like in Spanish. And I basically mean the world or the existence of an artist and the sphere in which an artist lives in, and this world is also threatened sometimes by mundane needs or by the outside, you know, by people who just don't understand or don't want to get how an artist thinks and lives. This is also the cover is depicting that, and that's what I mean with that. And it has a little bit of double meaning, because it also means that the band is now complete by the addition of our second new guitarist.
Then how does this this title relate to the actual concept and ideas behind the album?
Yeah, well, it's okay. That's a little bit something you got to think about. You know, the point is the album itself is no concept album, so there are a couple of, you know, songs, and they all related to stuff I'm reading about or which I'm interested in. So since also the title is like I said, it's an artist's world, and it's my world, which I've experienced my whole life because I've never had a different job. So I think this is the connection in between the title and the song for the music.
And in terms of the sound, what do you guys wanted to change from the last album, or what direction do you guys want to evolve to?
The first album was a debut album, so I think it's always like that, that there's a big development going on to the second album for most bands. With us, it was actually pretty dramatic, you know, it was like a huge step forward on so many levels, starting with the songwriting this time. I knew for which lineup, which singer I would compose the song. Then it continued with the whole recording process. We do most of the things ourselves, but so we've learned so much by, we've done some mistakes on God of Vermin, definitely, and we definitely wanted to improve on the production. So this is something. There's so many changes made, you know. We went to different studios also. Dennis Ward was mixing the album, so he was he's a kind of new person coming in. So a lot of changes, and I think you can. It's a pretty big difference to the first album.
And in terms of the, like you mentioned that you guys changed the process and everything. Why were you not worried that you know, the people that got into the band because of the first album would be kind of lost in the way with so many changes?
Not really. I mean, it's still totally our sound, and I think it's a bit the sound what we had on the first record, but much more emphasized. You know, the strength of the band and the unique sound which we have. That kind of, I would say, special mixtures, which many reviewers also saw or described it. I think it's just even more Sons of Seasons than what you had on the first record, because we were heading now much more straightforward into the direction which we were starting with the first album.
Oh, that what things in particular were you more interested in trying when you were composing this release?
Well, I wanted definitely that the music is a little bit harder and more aggressive than the first album. I really like the first album because it's a bit our firstborn, and but I think after all, when we finished the first album and listened to it ourselves, and we could get some distance to the recording, everybody agreed that a little bit the heavy numbers or the heavy titles are missing on the first album, the really heavy stuff. So that was definitely a goal which we wanted to, or something we really wanted to change now from Magnus Furikon. So all in all, the new record is definitely more aggressive.
And going back into a little bit about the how the band got formed and everything, what made you decide to come up with your own project and take this direction versus, you know, focusing on all the other things you have going on with all the other different bands you play with?
Well, I was always joining bands which existed way before I got I joined them. So it's, how should I say, even if they always became good friends, like with Zorro or with Camelot, it's never like 100% your band, you know. So with From the Seasons, that's really the stuff I started, you know. I picked the musicians for the band. The whole songwriting, I have the total freedom there, and that's maybe the most essential thing for me. I can compose, and I don't have to fulfill the visions of other artists. I have really all my freedom composing, and that was my main reason. Even if I can write music for Camelot, for example, but I have to consider their very specific and special sound.
And in terms of when do you find time to do this, since you're constantly touring with either Camelot, sometimes with Doro, you've been filling in for an Epica for a couple tours. When do you have time to do all of this?
Sometimes I don't know, but I really work. I'm quite a conservative worker. That means I get up quite early, and I work till late. And also, especially for example, when now Simone is on tour, so I'm a little bit back to my single life in a way. I can work till really late, and so I mostly have periods where I can where I achieve really a lot in my studio work. I also produce new bands. I mix other bands. I do some film music. I'm constantly working, but that's for me like the essence of life, you know, to grow, to do new projects. When I feel something is growing old and it's not giving me energy anymore, then I also stop doing it.
And what are your, you know, like main future goals for this band?
The music. I always knew that Sons of Seasons wouldn't be like the overnight shooting stars. The music is too complex for that, and it will need a while till it sinks in. We have to play a lot live. So, and that's now the main thing, that we go out and play a lot. We play actually a lot the past 2 years. We've done a European tour with Epica. Now the upcoming tour with Camelot, right after that, the double headliner tour with Mayhem. That's the new project of Mark Janssen from Epica. That's the main thing, because the band is really powerful live, and so that, and then let's see where it's going to. You never know, you know. It's just not possible to influence the market, and that's a good thing.
And of all the technical complexities behind the music, how much do you think that you need to, you know, not do or do in the studio to make the live experience somewhat similar? Or what are your thoughts on how that live experience should be related to the actual album?
In the past, with the first album, we always had the problem that people saw the band live. And then, you know, we had a lot of positive feedback. And they listened to the album, and they always found there was a big difference between our performance on stage and the album, because that sheer energy and kind of raw metal that we have on stage is not like that on the first album. So I think we closed that gap between you know, the album and the live experience now with Magnus Furikon. We're actually rehearsing a lot, and we're thinking a lot how can we perform those songs. And certain songs you also cannot really perform live on the stage on the new album. So we will pick certain songs and then do them as close to the album as possible live.
And for you personally, where do you think that bands should draw the line with having, you know, just ridiculously produced albums and then have a total crap live sound? What would you say that you personally will draw the line between having a extremely well-produced album that has all this flair and stuff and not being able to do it live, any of it?
It's hard to say where. We always feel it out in the rehearsal room, and there you can always see what is possible. When I'm producing, at least for my band, where I can decide, I'm always thinking already during the songwriting process. Okay, how can we do this live, or can we do this live at all? So I think I would never. If I do something with just studio work, then I can, of course, use everything, all the sounds, and do the impossible. Mm-hmm. But I'm always thinking ahead when I'm producing. So, yeah.
And can you like give us a little insight on how your whole writing process works? Because every band, every musician basically has a different process. What is your process?
With this band, when I'm writing songs all on my own, you know, I'm having more a, what should I say, it's like I'm hearing the music before I write them. That's the most important thing, so I'm not like trying around until I find something. I'm sitting down in my studio, like I said, and I work the whole day. I'm changing things, at the end of the day, I use certain results and other stuff I just throw away, you know. So, but like I said, I have more kind of conservative approach to the whole thing, a little bit compared to the old classical composers who had an incredible output of material in their life because they were basically working all day. And then we have songs where our guitarist, the other guitarist, sends in, for example, a riff, and I rearrange it. I send it to our vocalist. He puts some melodies on it. I rearrange it again, and so we slowly come to the final result.
So, do you guys have like a kind of like a consensus process, or if there's a part that you really like, the other members don't like, do you just say, "Well, this is how we're gonna do it"?
Yeah, we had quite some arguments going on. The problem is that this difficult sound, which is the Sun to Season sound, I can't produce not so consciously, you know. It's not happening on the surface, but I compose something or arrange something, and then what comes out is that kind of special sound. Henning, for example, our singer, he's coming more from a traditional metal approach. And sometimes when he gives me melodies, I'm sometimes thinking, that's just too traditional, you know, or maybe too simple. But in the end, many of those melodies end up as the chorus of a song, and people find them more or easier the entrance into the song, and then they also understand the more complex parts. So I sometimes have the tendency to write stuff which is a little bit too complicated, and the other guys can soften me down a bit.
And how do you feel that over the years the band has been together now as a kind of a unit? Has this been getting incorporated easily, more easily, or is it the opposite?
You mean that how it's influencing the music that?
How does it influence the work that you guys do, you know, as a whole, that now that, you know, you have to somewhat take more into consideration what members said than at the beginning?
You know, when you find like a group of people, which are then your, let's say, your colleagues, but also your friends. In music, it's not possible to draw a line there. At the beginning, it's always like all enthusiasm and everything is great, and then after a while, you also find out, well, everybody has also a negative side. And so we're kind of beyond those first years, and we know where the weaknesses are, we know where the strong sides are, and we have, luckily, we talk a lot to each other, so we avoid any tensions coming up. And I think there's still things to improve in that whole pipeline, in that working pipeline, but the years together and some kind of tough tours, it's a great circle of persons now being together and also friends.
And, I mean, since you've been in the industry for years, how do you, or is there a point that you feel that sometimes you just have, it becomes, you know, it's your passion, but it also becomes a job where you just have to show up and it loses kind of the magic? Have you been to any of those points, or do you think that that could happen?
I don't think so, because, you know, my basic life philosophy is that I want to stay a student all my life, and I want to wake up in the morning and be, I'm totally hot for getting behind my instrument again or compose and write, and so far it's like that. A little bit what I said before, when I feel that a project is not giving me anything anymore, you know, I had that in the past when I was in a certain band for many years. And after 6 or 7 years, I felt, well, it's time to get out. You know, I'm not getting anything anymore from that band. That was a time when it felt a little bit like a job. I was standing on stage, and I thought, and I didn't have really fun anymore. And then it was time to change something. It's maybe a little bit like with relationships or so. But I always want to keep that energy and freshness about music, and so far it's working great. I'm motivated.
And in terms of the touring, you mentioned that you have a couple of European tours coming up. Are there any plans for coming to the U.S. with some seasons?
Oh, I would love to. It's just, you know, the American crowd is so, how should I say, so friendly in a general way. I toured the U.S. a lot with different bands, and I really want to bring some of these over. The problem is just the budget. Right now, we're losing money like crazy, like most of the newcomers, and because the business is in such a fucked up state, and the labels, they are really not willing to risk a lot anymore, and just not that much money in it anymore. It's so hard to finance any concert or any tour. You know, every tour costs us thousands and thousands of euros and dollars. And of course, America is for us Europeans then more difficult to achieve, because we have to pay the tickets. It's much bigger distances than here. But definitely, I'm working on it, and I hope it's happening not too far from now.
And in terms of the market here, how do you see the reactions from the difference of reactions between the first album and the second album?
I think the reviews about the first album were very positive. Actually, I expected them not to be so positive, because I think there are some flaws. Definitely, the production is not so strong. The songs are good, but like I said, but the reviews were really good. But many reviews also said, "Hey, let's wait. Don't be too harsh on them on the first album, and let's wait how the second album sounds." And right now, we got maybe a dozen reviews, and they're really great. They're like outstanding so far. And I expected it to be better, at least, than For Gods of Vermin, though that's happening. But so far it's like pretty overwhelming. I wonder if it continues like that. We'll see.
And what do you think that the band has to do in order to, you know, break into the U.S. Like, for example, Epica has, but now they can tour very constantly, and people will still go to the shows. What do you think that you guys need to do in order to achieve something like that?
Yeah, to play a lot live. But this is a bit what, how should I say, the devil's cycle. Do you say that in English? You know what I mean? That's what I was saying before. That you we have to tour a lot to achieve a certain point where things go by itself. But to achieve that, you need a lot of you have to invest a lot of money and a lot of time. So we're a little bit in a race against time also, because we have to reach a certain standard where it doesn't cost us so much anymore to tour. But this is a little bit the problem, and I hope that we make it before we all totally broke.
What do you think that this main hurdle or obstacle that metal bands have to overcome in order to, you know, gain a little bit more acceptance, like only a few select bands have been able to do over the years?
I don't know. You know, I'm pretty happy that metal still has this kind of underground thing to it, and it's not losing its, it's not getting too mainstream. That's something I'm happy about. Of course, it also means that the market is smaller or there's not that much money in it. And I think always if a metal band is getting too mainstreamy, then they're not as authentic anymore. I don't know. I think there are different ways to do it, but the most important thing for me, at least, is to stay unique and to try something different. And if I fail with that, well, then so be it.
Would you consider trying something different, creating one of those pop metal bands?
I would never do that. I'm totally anti when it comes to that. But it's like it goes against all my beliefs, you know. No, I wouldn't.
Okay, just kind of wrap things up. Is there like anything that you want to say to the people in North America that are going to be listening to this interview?
Maybe just that, you know, I really like the metal scene because people are so open-minded also to new experiments. I'm in different scenes also, like classical and jazz music and stuff, and it's nowhere like that. And like I said, in the U.S. it's kind of even more like that because of the friendliness of the people. Like I said, I played some concerts in the U.S. which I thought were really bad, and people were still, you know, they came out after that stuff. There were some technical fuck-ups, and they were totally understanding. Such a positive vibe, and I'm just so glad every time I can come over. In September, I will be there the next time with Camelot, and, well, I can't wait.
Okay, anything related to the band?
About Santa Stevens?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's now like that really exciting period with the new album, and I just hope people will like it, and I can recommend definitely to give it a couple of spins. There's a lot of material on it, complex music, and it needs a little time to sink in, maybe. So I hope people have the patience to do that.